columnist extraordinaire, Mark Wiedmer. How are you today?
Well, I'm fine. That, of course, covering should come with an asterisk in case they ban the media over the coronavirus. So I doubt that will happen, but these things are starting to move pretty quickly on the newswire.
And, Mark, isn't it about money? I mean, I'm sitting there watching last night in North Carolina. You could see some empty seats at the very tip-top of the end zones behind the goals, but, I mean, a very energetic crowd as North Carolina in Greensboro puts it on Virginia Tech. Of course, the ACC headquartered in Greensboro. You think about the SEC last year had a $23.5 million economic impact on Nashville, and I don't know how much the men's tournament makes a year for the league. I imagine it's that $10 million neighborhood, give or take. But, I mean, the Ivy League's not losing any money over canceling its tournament, but in the SEC and ACC, it's a different story.
Oh, I can't believe how cynical you are, David.
Or accurate.
I think it, because we all know that the majority of these conference tournaments probably lose money. They certainly don't make any real money for their schools. So there's no question that if the SEC or the ACC or the Big Ten tournaments were to cancel, or the Pac-12 in Vegas, it's a huge negative economic impact. If I'm beginning to think, though, if I were these tournaments, I'd have these fans sign waivers before they entered the arena saying if they got coronavirus, they would not sue either the league or the arena, because I think we have to be realistic here. When you're seeing the panic you are throughout the world and from the World Health Organization, there's something serious going on here, and I think you ignore it kind of at your own risk.
Mark, you and I have covered things like when you think about the Alabama-Georgia National Championship game, we got down there really early because we knew there could be some delays as far as Secret Service and getting through with Trump's arrival. And, of course, you did hear about the headaches and people waiting in line and getting caught in the rain. I mean, on the eve of this thing, what are you kind of expecting? Are you even the slightest bit, apprehensive, whatever the right word may be, just given the unknown and given the, like I said, what you're about to walk into?
Well, that's why I'm keeping hand sanitizer in my computer bag, David. I think it's silly not to practice some healthy precautions here, but at least for the media, we go in a separate entrance, so it's not going to be the same crowds that you would have at the regular entrances for the fans. But yeah, I mean, I'm a little nervous about it, but not terribly so.
And then, of course, I guess the situation's going to be after each game. And I did hear, and we have John Hale on here from time to time. He does a great job covering Kentucky for the Louisville Courier Journal. He goes, I totally get the SEC's decision to shut down locker rooms to the media when you consider what a scrum it is after a game to try to interview Kentucky players and whatever the case may be, because Kentucky basketball has a big media following. But I guess, is it going to be a situation? How much homework have you done? Are they going to bring a coach and a couple of players out from each team and have them at a podium, and everybody's going to be kind of sitting in an audience?
My understanding is that part of it, which is the traditional post-game media op with the players up on a podium and the coach, two players and a coach, they have said they will consider having a few smaller interviews off to the side, probably in a hallway after those official interviews are over. But yeah, now, if you're Vanderbilt, you know, there are three guys in the locker room afterwards trying to interview players. So it's definitely more for the Kentuckys and Tennessees and those programs with big media contingents. But, I think that's a smart move on the league's part. And if nothing else, I think it probably calms some fears within the locker room from the players and coaches.
You're listening to Mark Wiedmer, Chattanooga Times Free Press columnist extraordinaire, who will be headed tomorrow to Nashville along with Gene Henley to cover the 2020 Southeastern Conference basketball tournament. You're listening to Weeds here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
And not to go back to Mr. Cynical David Paschal from earlier there, Mark, but if I put the odds at 1 in 50, they're going to cancel any part, of the NCAA tournament, considering what that means for the NCAA and all of college athletics that are not college football, they're going to figure this thing out, even if it's played in front of an empty gym in Topeka, Kansas.
Well, they've already come out. The Dayton and Cleveland fights will be played in an empty gym as ordered by the governor of Ohio, which you're going to – if that's the way it can be, if it can be taken out of the NCAA's hands, this becomes much more interesting. The governor of Ohio has sway over those tournament sites. So Dayton and Cleveland have already been declared as of this afternoon – there will be no fans there.
Hey, Mark, let me add something because the NCAA has just sent out a statement. They have a COVID-19 advisory panel that says we recommend against sporting events open to the public. We do believe sport events can take place with only essential personnel and limited family attendance, and this protects our players, employees, and fans.
Wow. So now you're looking at potentially nobody watching these games.
Right.
Now, they'll be on TV.
No, that's my point. That's my 100% point on this thing, Mark, because this TV deal, if they're not going to – if this doesn't happen, the NCAA, and I know they could survive 1 year of this, but then they're going to be pushed into the brink of make or break because so much of their budget comes from – if this thing's not on TV – and CBS comes calling for the $1 billion that they pay for this thing, look out.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they have to televise it unless some government entity just rules you can't play them at all. They'll televise the games without fans. And then you wonder, now does the NCAA have some kind of insurance in place against this type of scenario? I don't know. You know, really, when you look at it from a television standpoint, it shouldn't affect the ratings. If anything, it might help the ratings. It becomes even more of a novelty situation. But now, these arenas, though, these cities that have agreed to host this with thoughts of a huge economic impact, wow, what do they do for financial relief?
Absolutely. And we talked about that earlier. Getting back to actually what I know, you love the SEC tournament more than most. Kentucky or the field?
That's a fair assessment, Jay.
Yes, more than everyone. Can I just go ahead and get more than everyone? Kentucky or the field? Who you got?
I've already gone on record with this in print. I like Auburn in this tournament.
So you're the one, you and Bruce.
Me and Bruce. Oh, I saw something from Billis today touting them. So
they may be out first
not
game.
Not necessarily to win it, but I mean, my big thing with them is they've got better depth than Kentucky or just about anybody else.
But they could play Texas A&M in the quarters, and they are nasty against Texas A&M.
Yeah, but didn't they – I didn't watch that game, but didn't they lose that game in part because of a technical?
Yes, on Bruce and Stephen Pearl.
Right. Well, I mean, a lot of people think Stephen Pearl should be permanently banned, but I mean, that certainly had an impact in the game. They lost by 3, I think, so – and A&M has become a very difficult team to play.
Weeds, Jay and I are wondering.
They're getting timely three-pointers from several guys. And, they'll be a force in this, too, although I don't think they have a lot of depth.
Weeds, Jay and I are wondering what's up with your love of Auburn. I mean, you had Tennessee going 12-0 in a column and then losing to Auburn in the SEC championship game, and now you've got Auburn winning the SEC tournament. What's your infatuation with Auburn?
Oh, I just think these are Auburn's salad days in a lot of ways, certainly in basketball. They've never been a factor before. And just watching them in several games this year where they're hopelessly out of games, they fight back. This team has a big heart. I don't think it's as talented a team as a year ago, but they really scrap and claw. They may be a little better defensively than a year ago.
All right, let me ask you this. Why is LSU – did you know LSU has won 11 SEC regular season titles, been to four Final Fours, and they've won one SEC tournament? They stink at
well,
this thing.
Well, that's the same number UT's won. Although, now –
UT won it back in the day.
Final Four.
Right.
It is an oddity, guys. There's no question. I mean, you would have thought LSU particularly would have won more than one SEC tournament title. And I believe I'm correct that that was in 1980, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. I was at that game.
All right.
Astronaut Dwayne, Astronaut Scales, Rudy Macklin. I mean, that was a loaded team now.
Let me ask you this. Just let's take Kentucky, a team that you're quite familiar with. Last Saturday, they go to Gainesville, fall behind by 18, and win. 4 or 5 days earlier, they're up 17 on Tennessee and lose. Why have there been so many? Because those aren't just isolated situations either. This league has had a ton of drastic swings this year as far as leads blown or comebacks, depending on the side.
Well, I think it's two or three things. One, David, I think it points to the fact that nobody in this league is great. And I think it also points to the fact that a lot of teams are pretty good, and it shows what the three-point shot has done, particularly this year, to the college game, because you hit two or three of those in a row, and you've wiped out a sizable part of the deficit. That's what happened with Tennessee in the second half in Lexington, where you had Josiah Jordan James hit a couple outside. Pons hit one or two, I think. And Kentucky went cold, and there you go. They're right back in the game. And then the same thing reversed on Saturday. Kentucky got hot a little bit, and Florida went cold, and all of a sudden, it's a nail-biter.
Mark, is there a better time of year for you right now than pouring like an afternoon cocktail and watching some afternoon college basketball?
No. This is, other than like Christmas week, this is my absolute favorite couple of weeks of the year.
What about Sunday as a day? I mean, the day the bracket comes out, because there have been a lot of Sundays where Kentucky hoist the SEC tournament title and then the bracket gets announced. That's got to be a good day.
Yeah, and then the selection committee sticks it to them in the pairing.
That is a vintage Wildcats comment.
That is such the naysayer Big Blue mantra right there. Right there.
It is. No, I mean, I don't think, particularly like when you're a UTC and you've won the conference tournament, there is nothing better, I think, for the fan base than sitting around waiting for that bracket to be announced and see where you're going dancing. I think particularly for the little guys, it's just the greatest thing going. I think for the big schools, I think it is kind of a root canal, like, okay, are we going to get a hard draw to get to the Final Four or an easy one?
Mark, this just now hit me. Mark Emmert has come out, Jeff Goodman tweeting this. Mark Emmert says no fans will be allowed at NCAA tournament games, only essential staff and limited family attendance. Mark, the Final Four is in Atlanta.
Yeah, well, they could have it at Dalton High School now.
He say all tournament games? Pardon me, Mark, pardon me. Does this tweet say all NCAA tournament games?
It says no fans will be allowed at NCAA tourney games.
Wow, I'm shocked that they would go all the way into April with this thing. I don't know because you're right, Mark. I mean, when you talk about money, that's 100,000 people going into Atlanta. Never mind what the coaches and all the different meetings and votes and all the things that go on over the course of that weekend.
Well, I mean, it's absolutely devastating to the Atlanta economy, but also, can you imagine playing now in a stadium that holds 70,000 people? There won't be, unless they allow all the media to cover it that are credentialed for it, which is probably around 2,500, there literally won't be 1,000 people in that building. And, I mean, just the atmosphere alone, it'll be a ghost town. It'll be worse than a practice. I mean, and that's going to affect play. There's no question.
And, I mean, I know we joke about Kentucky. I mean, but nobody benefits from loyal followers more than Kentucky. I mean, that's going to be really strange for them playing in front of – I mean, I saw their game at Texas A&M. They had tons of fans in College Station.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. They've got fans everywhere they go. Now, here's a question I have. Does the NCAA consider, like, piping in crowd noise just to give some sort of normal atmosphere to this? Because, I mean, this is bizarre beyond belief to be playing in a gym where you'll just hear sneakers squeak and I mean, like I said, it's worse than one of those practice games they play in October.
I mean, it's the closest thing is that 08 SEC tournament when they played it at Georgia Tech.
Never mind the shooting angles we talk about all the time, Mark, that you and I have talked about for a decade. If it's tough to shoot in these 25,000-plus seat arenas with the sight lines with actual crowds behind you, go ahead and try to imagine that with a cavernous arena with nobody anywhere.
Yeah, Jay, I'm not sure, though, it's not better without the crowds because it will be a solid backdrop.
Fair enough.
I mean, whatever the seat colors are, that's what they're dealing with. I've shot in those arenas a couple of times in a media deal, and I think it would almost be easier because of that, because you're dealing with a uniform background then.
Listen, great stuff, Mark. I felt like we were breaking news as the interview went, but safe travels to you and Gene this week up to Nashville, and look forward to talking to you next week.
Well, now, here's a question. If they're not going to have fans at NCAA tournament games, is this going to be forced on these few league tournaments that haven't canceled? I mean, by tomorrow morning, we may not have fans in Nashville.
Right. No, you're exactly right. I mean, we follow our good friend Wes Rucker on Twitter, and he's like, he just tweeted out a couple of minutes ago, all I know is what the SEC tells me, and right now they're saying they're not aware of any changes. Other than that, I got nothing.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he's dealing with people tweeting at him going, I'm about to drive down. Should I? Or should I hold off?
Exactly. Exactly. We've never seen anything like this in American sports, guys.
Wow.
We're living history.
Well, safe travels tomorrow if you do make the trip. And as always, we always appreciate you joining us here on Press Row.
All right, guys. Have a good week.
All right. Mark Wiedner. All righty. Columnist extraordinaire. Joining us here, 648-1051 is the number. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.